Well, again, moms, we thank you for coming. Thank you for allowing your children to be a part here at Living Faith. And it's our joy and delight to continue on the great foundations that you've placed inside of them. And our heart is to see them continue to grow in the things of the Lord. And we're very purposeful about the things we do to help people grow. And our joy and delight is to see them be able to stand before the Father and say, "Hey, I know what I believe in, and I've lived it well." And you hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And our job as pastors is to put as much as we can inside of you, so when you stand there with confidence and boldness because your life has been transformed. God is good. Well, we've been in the middle of a series. We have, this is the third of four. We talked about big questions that people ask. Our first question was, why do bad things happen to good people? And I profoundly said, I don't know. And then we talked about some reasons, because we live in a fallen world, people have free will. But we realize that all things work together for good for those who love God or are called according to His purpose. So if you love God, call according to His purposes, if that's in there, then you got to realize no matter what happens, God's going to use it for good. He uses the manure of life as fertilizer to cause you to grow and do great things inside of your heart. The second question is, why am I here? We realize that we're here for His purpose. We're here to give Him glory and honor and power. And you do that by fulfilling the purpose and the calling that God has on your life. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism in 1647 said this, "What is the chief end of man?" And it was to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What great responsibilities we have as Christians. We get to glorify God by all that we do and live for Him. And then we get to enjoy Him now and forever. We talked about being a full Christian is when a Christ follower actually follows Christ. That if you're going to call yourself a Christ follower, a Christian, then we have to be following the object of our faith. We have to be following Christ. And you know when you're following Christ and you're going, every once in a while. It's when your will and His will cross that all of a sudden we submit our will to the Father's will, and we do it, and we're always happier, aren't we, doing His will rather than our own? It seems to always work out better when we follow God. He also gives us the desire and the ability to do His will. You can get all those messages at livingfaithfellowship.com if you ever want to hit there. And did I mention that we have an app? We do have an app. It's good. Download it. Living Faith Fellowship Pullman. It's amazing. It'll read the Bible to you. Did you know that? Okay, anyway. Our third question. The number one question, and again, I could only go back to 14. The number one question asked on Google in 2014 and also the number one back in 2011 was this question. What is love? Number one question. What is love? The most popular hashtag to get new followers. They had a deal that said, to get new followers, the most popular hashtag, I'll give them to you. The number ninth hashtag was hashtag happy. Number seven, hashtag follow me. I guess that's a good way to get new followers is please. I guess you could add the number six hashtag was follow. That was it. Number five probably should have been please follow me. No. Number five was cute. Number three was me. Number one, guess what it was? Love. Number one hashtag, love. Number one activity searched for on Google in 2014. You know what it was? How to kiss. Wow. That person said, you can find that on Google? No. And one question that was asked as I was going through all this was in line with this is, how do you heal a broken heart? A lot of questions on that. Number one, how-to question. How to heal a broken heart. And I want to talk about those things today. The events of life don't break a heart. It's usually the relationships of life do or can. It's not about events. It's about relationships. All sorts of things happen in life. All sorts of events happen. But the things that hit our heart are usually not events. They're people. They're people. It's the people that bring us great joy, also bring us great disappointment and heartache. People are searching the internet with questions about love because it affects everyone. We all want to experience being loved. And if not, the result is we feel hurt. And I would probably venture to guess that the majority of songs that are sung out there deal with the concepts of love, don't they? the lack of love, the loss of love, or the finding of love. People are concerned with love because it's something that we want. This heart aches for it. Love is used in the Bible 546 times, probably every other page. Love is an important concept to God. Love is important. And we're created in the image of God. And God is relational. And so we're relational. And so the Bible is relational. It's all sorts of stories in here about people. In Genesis 1:1, we start with events. We start with events in Genesis 1:1. And it says, in the beginning, God created. He created everything. And you know what he says after he created everything? All these events happen. It's just him. Everything's up there. And it goes on great. He creates and he says, it's good. It's good. And then in verse, I think it's 26, God said, let us make man in our own image. And from verse 26 until Revelation 22:21, where it says, amen, it's full of relational problems and issues. Love, lack of love, lost love, can't find love, where's my love, why did you forsake me? All sorts of stuff in here about that concept of relationship, that concept of love, and the heartache that we find as humans in finding it and losing it and messing it up and saying the wrong thing and doing... Lord, what is love? What is love? What is love? And I can think that God, in the middle from when he created man, you know, in verse 26 to the very end, I'm sure as he's looking through all this, he's going, oh, brother, I can hardly wait for heaven. So what is love? I want to give you 6 points to try to answer this question, love. In 1 John 4, 7 through 11, we're going to start with this one. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for, say it with me, God is... So when we first ask the question, what is love? God is love. It starts with God. God is love. Love is of God. It's from Him to us. He is love. And He created the concept and He gives us the definition of love. It's Him. He is love. He's the one who crafted, originated, and made this whole concept called love. We need to realize that with God is when we understand what love is. Without Him, there is no love. Without God, there is no love. You heard the thing, no, K-N-O-W, God, no love, or no what everything. No, and oh God, no love. Because He is love. If you know Him, you know love. If you don't know Him, you don't know love. You know something else. You know affection. You know what this world calls or defines as love. But it's not God's definition of love. Because God created it, originated it, and designed it. And He has a way for us to walk in it. And the only way we can get it is to get Him. Him in us produces love inside of us, and love now can come out of us. If we don't know God, we can't love the way God wants us to love. We can lust. We can do all sorts of other things. We can have affection. We can do good deeds. We can do all that. But you can't do love if you don't have God. The world needs God in order to understand this concept of love. Love is not tolerance. Love is not just the absence of hate. Oh, let's not hate anybody and it'll all be love. No, that's the world's concept of love. That's not God's concept of love. We are trying to define all of these things now about what we should do, and we're giving up values and morality in the wake of tolerance because we think that's love, but that's not love. That's our definition. It's not God's. God has a way He wants to demonstrate and for us to walk in love. And you can't love if you don't have God. Well, I don't hate and I show affection and all that. But if you don't know God, then you aren't loving God's definition. Because He's the one who put it on the map. You can't know love without knowing God. You know something else. We all, whether we admit it or not, want to be loved. We want to love somebody. Love or the lack of love is the emotional response that drives most of the things that we do. And here's my observation. You must know God, the originator and author of love, in order to really give love. You've got to know God. You have to know love to give love. If not, it's only your definition of what you say is love. But that's not what God says it is. This is really important, folks, especially in our society today, because, you're non-loving. No. We need to be God-loving. We need to love the way God loves. People that don't know God, they can show affection, but not real love. Therefore, you can't truly love somebody unless you really know God. And here's my observation. Affection is a response, but true love is initiatory. Affection is a response. I mean, we respond. If somebody came up to you and said, "Oh my God, you're so cute, you're so wonderful," we dote on you. All of a sudden you go, that's how most relationships happen. Anyway, but affection is not love. Affection's a response. It's not real. People that don't know God can show affection, but no real love. No real love. You can only give out love if you know love. And you can only know love if you know God. That's why God wants us to get out His message to everyone so they can know God and know what true love really is. Not a counterfeit love that the devil, the cosmic creator, is trying to propagate in our society today because it's affectionate, because it's nice, because it's whatever. You know, true love can also be forceful love, can be powerful love, can be demanding love in the sense of, hey, God wants us to change, and that's love. When you tell your child, take out the garbage or else, that's not because you hate them. It's because you love them, want to teach them responsibility, right? So love can be firm. It can be strong. But in the world's eyes, if you're strong and firm and have a standard, well, that's not love. You're supposed to be tolerant, loosey-goosey, and feely-wheely, and God has a different definition. You can't really give out love unless you know love. True love, initiatory, true love. It boldly goes where no man has gone before. It's a different kind of love. It goes where no one else goes. It's the kind of love that allows a lady who's been abused by a man to forgive that man and to hold no ill will to let it go. That's not a natural thing. That's a godly thing. I was reading a story about Rene Naper had a good reason to hate Eric Smallridge forever, and no one would blame her. It was the Tallahassee, Florida man who in 2003 chose to drink and drive at twice the legal limit for alcohol and killed Naper's daughter, Megan, and her friend, Lisa, in a horrible car crash after Smallridge was sentenced to 22 years for DUI manslaughter. The mother felt justice had been done and devoted her life to speaking at schools and churches about the dangers of driving, drinking and driving. However, God wanted Naper to go further in her mission. Asking for what seems impossible to man, He wanted her to forgive Eric for killing his daughter. She followed, contacting Smallridge in prison to tell him that she forgave him. Now, that isn't it. That's a natural love. It's a supernatural love. That's a divine love. This stunning act led Smallridge to choose to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. He made a profession towards Jesus Christ. Members of Naper's family as well made decisions for Jesus Christ, seeing this amazing love demonstrated. On top of this, she went to the courts and asked to have Smallridge's sentence cut in half, and the judge obliged. Cut his sentence in half. I think even more, from 22 years down to 9. The former convict released in November 2012 now speaks at her presentations as an example that forgiveness is so integral to healing. Now that is supernatural. That is loving. That's loving like Jesus loved. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This man knew what he did, and he chose to do it. And he damaged somebody's life, livelihood, and family, and memories, and relationships. But God used it for good as he changed the lives of this man and of her family, because she demonstrated God's love. Continuing on in verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. My second point is this. Love is action. It's demonstrated. Love is action. It's demonstrated. For love to be love, it takes action. Love is not a noun, but it's also a verb. God took action in sending Jesus here. Love talked about is not valuable, but love demonstrated is priceless. I love you. That's vocabulary. I did the dishes. That's love. Who's preach it? To make the bed. Never mind. I don't want to get myself into a big hole here. You see what I'm saying? I love you. That's vocabulary. I did the dishes. That's love. There was a study, and this is very interesting. We were at the conference, and I heard something about the study, and it was a bunch of, I can't forget what seminary it was, but they had a bunch of seminary students, and they had set up a thing, and they had, in the whole class, they were all supposed to preach a message on the Good Samaritan. Remember where there's a guy that gets all roughed up and he's lying on the side of the road, and a priest comes by and walks on the other side of the road, and a Levite comes by and walks on the other side of the road, and a Samaritan comes by and sees him and walks across the road and picks him up and nurses him back to health and gives money for this guy's well-being to help him nurse him back to health. And so in this study, what they did is they told the whole class, you're going to have to do this. And at various times where they had to go was this one lecture hall. They're going to be there. Different times they're going to go. And on the way to the lecture hall, they put a man in distress. Now, remember, they all have this message. You're going to preach on the Good Samaritan. And so they put a man in distress. He's sitting there and he's hurting and all that. He's down there and he's hurting. And they wanted to see what these seminary students would do as this man who's hurting, and they're preaching on the, what? Good Samaritan. Exactly. Gave him the exact life story. And it was incredible because they were in a hurry too. They had to hurry up and get there because they kind of set it so they'd be a little bit late because they're trying to see what hurry did as well. And so it was incredible how many people just simply walked over the guy in order to get to the class, in order to the lecture hall, so that they could preach the message. I think sometimes when we're really hurried, when we're about life and we just go about it, we forget some of the principles we learned for the day. We forget the principles we learned at church on Sunday. We forget the principles we learned from a Bible study. We forget those things, and the busyness of life just kind of takes things out of us. And instead of acting, we have great messages, but God wants us to have great actions. We have great words and great vocabulary, but God wants us to have great actions, great doings. Love is an action. Love is an action. Love's not a word. Love's not a message. Love is how you live out your life, touching other people. Verse 10. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. My next observation is this. Experiencing the love of God makes us lovers for God. And this is important. When you experience the love of God, it'll make you a lover for God. When you experience His amazing grace, His amazing love, His transforming power, how He takes all of your debts and cancels all the junk you've ever done and makes you as white as snow. When you realize how amazing His love is, God wants us then here to communicate that love to a world who doesn't know Him. There's a world out there that doesn't know Christ. And the only way they're going to know Christ is if we take Christ to them. The only way they'll know the love of Christ is when we demonstrate the love of Christ. Just like Renee did. Just as she demonstrated that forgiveness. And what did it do? It transformed the man who was behind bars. It transformed the family. I would have thought the family would have gotten mad at what she did. Yet the family somehow also forgave and came to Christ. If we don't show the love of Christ, how will they ever know the love of Christ? How will they ever come to Christ? We're the representation. We're supposed to be the ones that... And man, I stand up here accused, okay? I'm preaching to me on this too. Some of the things that we say or the tone that we use or, you know, when I'm on and I want to, I can do really great things. And when I'm busy and hurried, man, I can just, oh, hurry up with that and blah, blah, blah. A restaurant. And I remember on the way home, I was trying to get back and what I was eating didn't have the right stuff inside of it. And I was bummed. And I kind of let the person know that I was bummed. Sort of. Okay, next point. I'm just saying we must let conviction touch us. We must admit our faults. We must admit when we're wrong. And then go about, okay, Lord, how do you want me to do differently? How do you want me to do differently? How do you want me to do differently? And I thought about that for a long time about... experience the love of God who forgives all of our mistakes. They made a mistake too. They didn't even give me all that I ordered. And then usually when they don't give you all you ordered, they just kind of go, oh, we're sorry, here's that. And so I go, yeah, you didn't put it all in here. And they go, oh, I didn't charge you for that. You need to come back and pay for it. And I go, you're not just going to get, okay. So I went back and paid for it. Well, I should have paid for it because she forgot to put it in there, but she made her mistake and I thought she was, anyway, it was a big deal for me. It's really a small deal right now, in front of all you. It's like, wow, our pastor is so petty. Jeez, give it a break. The issue is this. You're going to be up here, but not up here in front of us. You're going to be up here in front of everybody, answering to all the things you did too. And all those things that seemed like, wow, that was powerful, that really hurt, that really deserved, oh, you wouldn't believe, is going to be really petty when you stand at those pearly gates and you're going to explain to everybody up there, it hurt back then, really bad. It doesn't hurt much now. It's kind of embarrassing. We are responsible to love others. People can't get to know God until they experience the love of God. We're to love others with God's love so they can get to know Him. We are God's expression of love in the earth today, just like Renee was. There's a lot of people suffering from loneliness out there, heartache, issues, and we need to be the ray of sunshine that drops in the hearts of people to brighten up their day. Continuing on, 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. My third point is, love makes the first move. Love makes it easier to reciprocate. Isn't it? If you've got a problem going on and somebody comes and moves towards you first, it's easy to reciprocate back. Remember? Initiatory stuff is the hard part, but if we move toward people, well, reciprocating back is really easy. Christ died for us. He loved us first. When you make the first move, it's vulnerable, and that makes it more valuable. When you make the first move, when you're feeling kind of, oh, gee, and you're making the first move, you got to realize it's very vulnerable because you have to put the stuff out there first. But in God's eyes, He goes, that is valuable. I honor that. Are we willing to make the first move like Christ did for us? 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You can't love God and hate your brother. You can't love God and hate anybody. We can't love and hate at the same time. We do. We must let go of hate. We hate the person who abused us or neglected us or hurt us, to hurt, to cause physical or emotional pain or injury to. A lot of hurt goes on. A lot of hurt goes on. And I'm sure Renee was hurt by what this man stole from her and from her family. But she didn't let the hurt move towards bitterness. She allowed God's forgiveness to make her better. We're programmed for relationship to enjoy love. And when someone uses the vulnerability of that love and violates us, that love is no longer love. It's experienced as pain. Pain. Here's my observation. Hurt is a result of denied love. Who have you hurt today? I haven't hurt anybody. I just stayed away. I just didn't even do anything. Okay. Hurt's a result of denied love. And let me hear this. The more potential, and I hope you can understand this, the more potential you have in a relationship for deeper love produces the more potential for deeper hurt. The closer you are to someone, the more you can hurt them. We all want to feel love. We all want to feel love. But let me tell you what. If I'm at Walmart and somebody at Walmart who I don't know comes over and says, "Hey, you, blah, 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 blah. Hey, your yellow shirt and your shoes look stupid, blah, 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 blah." I'll look at them and go, "Hey, God bless you, my man. I hate you." No, I'm not going to say that because this is going to be recorded and you guys are going to all going to see it in heaven. So I'm going to, "God bless you, my man. Thank you for your critique." All right. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go, "Honey, guess what happened? The guy, blah, 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 blah. So what? I'll never see him again. I don't know him. I don't care about him." If my wife looks at me and says, "Hey, you look really stupid." "Well, looks aren't everything. I'm sorry, honey. Your old shirt looks stupid and your shoes were dumb and blah, 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 blah. And I just hated it and it was awful. It was," you know, it was funny because we were in Port Ludlow. And so at the end of the conference there, we had, 15 minutes before we were going to leave or 20 minutes before we were going to leave. So we went on the beach, walked on the beach. So we walk on the beach, we come back, and then she goes, "Oh, let's take a little selfie." And so she's out there and we're taking a selfie. So I take this picture. Now, what? Everybody's going to look at it now. So I take this picture and then we get all these, "Oh, you look so good, blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Honey," I'd eaten an egg sandwich right before that, fried egg, right? So I was eating it and I didn't realize it just dribbled. This is like a food collector right here. It was all yellow and white things in there and, you know, stuff for later on that evening to lick out. And it's all in there. And I look in the mirror afterwards and I go, "Oh my gosh, honey." I go, "What'd you do with that picture?" And she goes, "I sent it out." God. Great. When people you don't know say something to you, it's no big deal. When people who are close, the closer they are, the deeper they can hurt you. If a stranger at Walmart saw me and went the other way and avoided me, I wouldn't think twice about it. If my wife looked at me and said, "Ah," and walked the other way, and we spent the next year and a half of a relationship and I'm trying to find her, that would hurt a lot, right? The more potential for deeper love produces the more potential for deeper hurt. That's why a lot of people don't want to venture out into anything more. And God says, "Hey, I want you to venture out everywhere with just a desire for deeper love everywhere. And let me shield you. Don't shield yourself." Because we try to protect ourselves in all these relationships. And God goes, "Oh, no, no, I'm a good protector." "Oh, but Lord, a lot of things are hurting." "Oh, I know, I know. I use all that stuff." "Well, it's fun for you to use me as an experiment and have me hurt." He goes, "Hey, listen, listen. If you want to talk about hurt, talk to my other son over here. He knows what it feels like to hurt." Investment is what makes love valuable. Investment is what makes love powerful. Investment is what makes love dangerous. Because to deny the love is going to hurt. I'm just protecting myself. No, but it hurts other people. How you use your love affects people. You either help them or you hurt them. There was a song released in 1993, and I don't really know much about the song, but it's entitled, What is Love? And it's funny because the lyric says, What is love? Because I was searching for what is love. It goes, What is love? Then the next thing goes, What is love? And then the next thing says this right after it, Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. I'm thinking, okay, what is love? Oh, don't hurt me! Love hurt! Love hurt! Isn't it amazing? Because where there's love, there's hurt. In the same breath, love and hurt come out of the same. Sadly, love and hurt go together in American culture. We can get hurt. 1 John 4:21. Continuing on in 1 John here. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Fourth thing is that love is a command. God's love. Not tolerance or all the other things the world has and calls it, but his love. It's my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. We're commanded to love others the same way Jesus loves us. And you know what? When God tells us to love, he gives us all of the love we need to love with. It's crazy. It's not like, I got to drum something up here. I got to make something happen. God's going, no, just use the supply you got. I already gave it to you. I know, but I'm not feeling the love. Get rid of your feelings, dude. Just let it out. Open up the floodgates and just, shoo, I've given you love. Just open it up. Dump it out. Just let it out. I filled your truck up. And after you dump it out, I'll give you some more. You have to understand that what he's asking us to do, he's already given us the provision to do it. It's kind of like when I talked to Joey. We were praying before the service in here, and Joey was in there with Tommy. And I said to Joey, I go, Joey, after the service, could you do me a big, big favor? And he goes, yes, what is it, Grandpa? And I go, would you be willing to eat a sucker for me? I'm going to have suckers at the end. Would you be willing to eat another sucker for me at the end of the service? He goes, yes, Grandpa, I can do that for you. I go, Joey, man, thank you so much. This really means a lot to me. It's really helpful. Do you understand it's the same way when we talk about love? When we love somebody, we keep thinking it's this arduous, hard, and difficult. God's going, dude, do you not understand? I've given you the sucker already. Would you just lick it? Would you just let it out? You don't have to go find love. You don't have to go search for things. You don't have to make. He's just saying, let it out. I've already given it to you. Renee found it. It was in her truck. She just didn't want to push the button at the start. But all of a sudden, as God worked on her, he finally said, okay, beep, 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 and dumped it on this young man and changed his life. Gave him a life back. 12 years of it anyway. What can you give back to somebody by simply letting the love of God that's supernatural, that doesn't have rhyme or reason, it doesn't have a calculated response, it simply gushes out to a world that desperately needs to see it, and to people in your life that need it as well. Number 5, love is sacrificial. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his own life for his friends. Love is laying down your life for another, making their needs, their wants, their desires more important than your own. I know sometimes it feels better. It would be a lot easier if they just went out there and shot me and I died than for me to have to go through all the things I need to go through and do all the. We say that sometimes, don't we? That's not true. You really want to die? No. But you have to die to your flesh sometimes to love, because that's what Jesus did. He died to his flesh. He died to, if it's possible, Father, take this from me. He died to that so he could enjoy the joy that was set before him as he endured that cross. When you love sacrificially, do you understand there's a joy set before you? There's a joy when you reach out, when you go beyond, when you jump off the cliff with your love, when you let go and you cancel debts, and there's something amazing that takes place. Something freeing. What is love if not costly? Real love demands sacrifice that can't be found in self-centeredness. You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. Sacrificial love requires that we give what we value most, our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. Real love does not always follow our natural inclinations. It's not an impulse from feelings. It's a command from God that we obey. God demonstrated his love in sending his son to die for us. True love is sacrificial. True love is crazy. And Jesus did crazy things for us. Number six, as we bring this home. Love is unconditional. Love is unconditional. It's not you. No, not you. You. No, not you. Not you. No, I know you. No, you. It's not conditional. It's everyone. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died. When you were bad, when you hated him, when you didn't want him to save you, when you were drinking and you were high and you were out messing around and you were running around with ladies out there and you were doing all sorts of stuff and you were cheating and you were doing all sorts of junk, God says, oh, I love you. I love you. It's not conditional. If it was, he would have never stopped here on planet Earth. Because there's none that doeth good. No, not one of us deserves anything from God except death. So unconditional is yours as you demonstrate it out to a world that desperately needs it. When we were at our worst, God is showing us his best. His love is not based on our performance, but on his character. That's unconditional. That's unconditional. Unconditional. Let me conclude with this, because I told you I was going to talk to you about how do you heal a broken heart? How do you heal a broken heart? You don't. God does. How do you heal a broken heart? Read more books, read this, do that. No. You don't. God does. God does. You need to sit with him and soak up his presence, hear his voice, and watch him do something supernatural. Because as he talks with you and chats with you, he begins to mend the heart that's hurting. He is the only one who can. Let God love yours back together. Let God love yours back together. I want to end with some action steps for you today. Number one, in light of this message, forgive a person who hurt you. While you're sitting there, think of someone who hurt you. Forgive them. Understand, forgiveness is not always an event. It's a process. It takes time and all that, but start the process. And the way you let this happen, as I said, get in his presence, soak in his presence. But in order to soak in his presence, you got to let your walls down. You got to let down all the hard things you got about a person or about an you got to let them down as you get in his presence. I don't know many people here who go and take a shower with all their clothes on. Does anybody? I think I've done that once, but that's because they're trying to revive me from passing out. But that's nobody gets. Hey, I'm all dressed, taking a shower. Hey, In the same way, you don't get into the presence of God and try to put all of your stuff up, your walls up. I don't want them to know this about me. Too late. As soon as you did it, he knew. Let the walls down. Sit in his presence. Ask him to forgive you. Tell him some of the stuff, dumb stuff you've done. He already knows. Talk to him about it. Let him heal your heart. He mends it together in such a way that transforms lives. So number one, forgive a person that has hurt you. Think of that person now. Forgive them. Number two, actively choose to love a person you know that desperately needs it. Not deserves it. Not deserves it, but needs it. Because you're most like Christ when you're giving that love away. Love somebody. Love somebody. Think of those two things, okay? Think of those two things as we conclude. I'm going to pray and we're going to do something at the end. Father, we thank you that you give us the people that we know have hurt us and that we'll simply forgive them like Renee Napier did. Lord, help us to love somebody that desperately needs it. Maybe it's a person across, it's a person at the counter having a bad day, maybe having a bad life, maybe lost a brother or a sister, or maybe was abused by someone, maybe he's having difficulty. There's so many hurts. Help us, Lord, to not add another log on the fire, but to add a cool, refreshing drink to a world that's starved for the love that comes from God. Forgive me for my shortcomings, Lord. Help me to think about others more than I think about myself. Father, help us. It's a great question. What is love? And you can't answer it without God, because God is love. God is the answer. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right here, if you don't know Christ, come on up here. Maybe some people will pray for you. You need to give your life to Christ. He loves you. You're thinking, oh, I shouldn't. No, today's the day. Come up here. If you have trouble forgiving somebody, you're going through some pain or hurt, come up here. They want to pray for you. Don't isolate it all. Get some help. We all need help. Come and get it. I want to help you. The last thing before we dismiss, I want to say this. Renee Napier, she contacted Christian singer and songwriter Matthew West with her story about how she forgave that prisoner. And in 2012, he in turn wrote a song aptly named Forgiveness. And I'd like to close with it. I wanted to put the words up there, so we're gonna put a little video. Just, it doesn't move much, but I want you to listen to the words in light of knowing the story and think, wow, is there someone I can forgive? Is there someone I can love with the love of Jesus Christ? Listen.
It's the hardest thing to give away, and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.